Hey guys, welcome to episode 286 of the podcast. Can that be right? And could my voice be more cracked and high-pitched? I think the answer is yes, I can be right about it, and no, it could not have been more high-pitched and cracked. This is an episode with Gabby Dunn. She is awesome. We had a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. And I am going to keep this very brief, this intro, and just get you right into the episode, and hope everybody's doing great. Happy Thursday if you're listening to this on Thursday.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Podcasting,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
now,
yeah,
with
go.
One
Sorry,
of
we're
the
having
most atrocious personalities on the internet.
Because we were having a good conversation, so it should be
as
recorded.
By, that's right. How dare we have a private conversation that can't be shared with any and everyone?
Yeah.
No, I feel very lucky to have someone as atrocious as you sitting right across
from
me.
So
I'm like,
how
dare I be honest with you? I don't have that impression of you.
Oh, thanks. Are you not a Reddit commenter? Wow.
The only time I ever go on Reddit is usually like, it usually involves like some murder podcast. It's like,
yeah.
That's the only.
Yeah.
It's the only, and even then I go on and I just get so tired so quickly. My eyes get tired. Everything about me sort of just wilts.
I like the unsolved mysteries part, or like, yeah,
I can get into that. But it's also like there's marginally less shittiness there, although there's still plenty of shittiness.
Yeah.
But there's marginally less, like, you're clearly a loser. You know what I mean? It tends to kind of be more like, hey, I found this old file from, you know, the da da da. Like,
just
there's
in the
a little
true crime segment
shittiness.
Where people are nice.
Yeah. Which is, we all agree, ironic. How are you? What's happening?
I'm all right. I'm doing rewrites on a book, and that's making me nervous because it's occurring to me that people will read it. I was hoping I could just write it and then no one would read it.
You would know you'd done it. You'd fulfill your obligation and
then I'm done.
I'd be done.
And also that like book stuff takes so long that people will be reading it in 2019.
Yeah.
Which who knows what'll happen by then.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe like everything will have changed and then the book, I don't know. The book will be relevant because it's about money, which is always relevant, but
indeed.
I don't know what's going to happen by 2019. We could be at war, like who knows.
Yeah.
So, it's like a weird time to do something where you're looking to the future.
Yeah.
In any capacity.
I go to this place frequently lately where I try to reassure myself. It's so baseless because like nothing is comparable anymore. Like there's just, you can't compare anything to anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't compare this president to any other president. Mm-hmm. You can't. I mean, you can, but like
Nixon?
It's not in a way. I mean,
yeah.
Kind of, but there was no internet. But there,
yeah.
And like he was. So there's just, but I try to sort of go like, okay, I remember when, you know, like friends, family members thought that, like when Obama was elected, they were like, this is the end times. Like there were people who felt like it's over for us as a country. Like this is the end. And they were wrong.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that he was perfect at all, but we certainly did not.
Mm-hmm.
But and a lot of things have happened to get us to this point. And
yeah.
And I'm definitely not a person who's like, listen, there's one group that gets it right and one group that gets it wrong. I'm like, no, everything's fucked. Everyone's fucked. But that's the, but like in those moments where I really start to panic, I'm like, but other people thought that when other presidents were elected, and they thought it was the end times, and they were wrong.
But like there really isn't anything comparable.
But it's not, but it's really hard to compare.
I know. And we're all becoming like very desensitized to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very weird about, for someone who exists on the internet, I'm so weird about immediacy. Like anytime something immediately happens, I have to like step away and I can only think about it like 2 days later.
Yeah.
When I feel like
that seems smart though, right? I mean, that seems like self-preservation.
I'm late to all TV shows. I try. Yesterday I did one tweet about the Met Gala and I was like, relevancy, we did it.
Yeah.
Congratulations me on a relevant tweet.
Yeah.
But I've lately, I mean, it used to be more, but lately I can't get on. And also like, I get the people that are like super on Twitter about politics and like, so am I. But I can't, the idea of like making a career out of being a pundit right now exhausts me.
Yeah.
Like the people that are like on TV arguing or the people that are writing op-eds all the time. I went to school for journalism. And when Trump was elected, my first thought was, I'm so glad I'm not a journalist anymore.
I'm so glad I'm not a journalist. And it's, I'm so glad that I don't have to write jokes on a late night talk show.
Oh, because my God. Because that too
would just be like, where do you go? Like, oh, it's just not fun. There's nothing.
My ex-boyfriend writes on Last Week Tonight. And he's like, it's so much research and it's so much like work to do it. And it is like, and that show's super important.
Yes.
I watch it every week, but, and it's like really great for like breaking down complex topics. But it just seems like working for it would be exhausting. Although please hire me for anything that you have going on. I love jobs. I would love to work. Love work. Please hire me.
I know. Same. I know. How many times have I been like, and I just don't care for that film. I would love to work with him. Yeah, I would love to be directed by her. She's brilliant.
Right.
That wasn't my cup of tea.
I've had actor friends text me to say they didn't like a movie, but that they're too scared to say anything because they eventually want to work with that director.
Yeah. Also, if you, I will say that I'm not self-important enough to think that that would ever get back to anyone,
and or that they would tweet, you know what I mean,
or that anyone would care. Yeah, I just that at least I think I'm probably safe. But I'm sure if you're like, you know, a huge celebrity and you say something shitty, that absolutely could affect whether or not that person wants to work with you.
I'm also a hypocrite because I've like tweeted about things that I didn't like and then worked with the person.
Well, in terms of like big picture didn't like, or like a thing they did,
like and one then minor you came thing, or,
yeah.
And nothing. And
yeah, I don't think that's hypocritical.
Like, yeah, and it's nothing like social justice objectionable. Like, right. I'm not gonna like work with like a
if
predator.
It's like
but
artistically questionable.
I did not
you felt
care
it wasn't
for this
up to
film.
Par. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now I will work with you.
Yeah. God, I really want you to name names, but that sort of goes against everything that we've just been saying. So please don't. So please don't. I feel like I'm very on top of fictional things because of the sort of escape hatch emotional feeling versus, being sort of needing someone else to digest the day-to-day moment-to-moment stuff and then sort of feed it back to me, which is what is great about Last Week Tonight, or I love the podcast The 45th, because it's like two women I already love from something else.
Oh, undisclosed, baby.
whose career is not that.
Yeah.
So they can sort of be like, hey, I'm a person doing other work and being a mom or being a cat mom or whatever, but also I know a shit ton about this, so let's unpack. And I also love just the preponderance of like, you know, Islamic voices that they bring to the table, because that is something that like even
it's Rabia Shadri, right?
Yeah,
I love her.
What a superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
And so like such a great example of, I mean, this happens all the time, obviously, in the YouTube universe and like with younger people, but for something like her to just be sort of like living in a very anonymous way.
Yeah.
And then having been propelled into the spotlight and then taking it, then owning it, and then being like, you know what? I do want to have a podcast and I do want, and then just to seem like, oh, I feel like she's been doing this for her entire career. It feels like she's
because
so
it's
good
not
at it.
Entertainment people. I tend to like stuff that's not about entertainment. Like I love procedurals. Like any, Janine Brito had a very funny tweet where she was like, my favorite shows are Good Looking Lawyers, Firefighter Fuckfest, like
Amazing.
The police might be okay. Like, just
right.
And
yeah,
I was yup.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mine is like I would say that mine is adjacent to that with a lot of things in common, but tends to be
are you a British, funny-looking, interesting-looking police mm-hmm, officer? Because mm-hmm. that's where I broad sort church? Of go, yeah, give me a Broadchurch, give me a Happy Valley, give me, like, anything depressing that's happening in the Scottish Highlands I'm on board for, because it's a nice mix of, you know, oh, God, this is devastating, that poor child.
Yeah.
What a beautiful countryside. God, I love fog. God, fog is wonderful. Isn't this green?
That's so funny.
It scratches like some very weird itches.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially in this day and age, and also maybe the age I am now, but I have tumbled into like mysteries on an emotional level and true crime stuff in a way that I never had before. And these guys know this already, but yeah, I do think a lot of it is like needing someone to solve some puzzle and needing to put chaos in order on some level, because there's so much that feels chaotic, that feels so out of my control, that it's like very soothing to have someone be like, this happened on this day, we figured it out through this, and
I think
that's that.
Women love true crime, I think, because A, we want to know everything bad that could possibly happen to us. We're like not shocked, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this guy did this terrible thing. And I think men are like, what? And we're like, no, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think we are already, like, scared. So it's not that scary to us.
And if anything, it's like, oh, that hasn't happened to me yet. And
yes,
maybe it
I
won't.
I think that all the time. I go, oh, my God.
It's not Schadenfreude. It's not like you're like, I'm glad this is happening to someone else. But you're like, okay, things could be worse. Things could be worse.
That's literally what it is. Yeah. You're like, oh, this hasn't happened to me. Thank goodness. And
it puts things in perspective.
I always talk about, so I love Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And I always talk about how it's literally a woman's Game of Thrones, because it's a fantasy world where the cops care about rape victims.
Oh, God. So grim.
You know what I mean? Like, it's literally my Game of Thrones, because I'm like, this is as realistic as dragons.
Right.
Like, this is... Like, they go above and beyond. Like, wow.
Oh, my
God. And I'm like, and I know that it's like essentially propaganda, but I'm still like, I love it.
Yeah.
And I just want, and it's the same thing you're saying. They wrap it up. They wrap it up in 45 minutes. And you know that, like, maybe everything won't be okay. Because certainly it's a terrible, tragic show, and every cop there should be in therapy.
Uh-huh.
But but it's like, you know, it wraps up. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I feel good about this.
Which you have to then supplant with your true crime and criminal justice and legal podcasts, so that you remember that if you're ever a juror, you also can't expect it to wrap up, because you have to, like, when then the real world gets, you know, you have to be infused by, like, oh, wait, DNA isn't, like, you can't expect that on every in every situation. And
every day I watch, every time I watch Law and Order, I'm like, I should be a lawyer. I should go to law school.
I kind of have that too with stuff. I'm like, I clearly care about the law in a very deep and passionate way. I guess I should stop what I'm doing.
I love listening to them argue about it. I love, and so like, I get like upset with Hollywood, and then I go, I'm going to be a cop.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a horrible idea.
Let me take
a
very dramatic right turn.
Yeah. Or I want to go to law school. I want to be a lawyer. But like, me being a lawyer is not going to be like the ADA on SVU. Like, that's
it's
like.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just always, I guess I feel like also like I'm learning. Like, I'm learning, like you said, to be a juror. Like, I'm learning law stuff. Like, I'm like, okay, if this ever happens to me, I know I can claim this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Do you feel, when you say you get frustrated with Hollywood, is there any kind of element of that as well that is like direct personal guilt, where it feels like I'm not doing enough, I'm not participating in the way that I would be if I were a lawyer, or is it more kind of external?
Yeah, I think it is like I could help. But my mom's a lawyer. My mom's a divorce and child custody attorney. And so I grew up seeing how unfair it was. She's very tough, but she's very sensitive. So I watched her, like, as a kid come home from cases and like cry in her room. And I would be like, well, what, you know, at like 8 years old, I'd be like, well, what happened? And she'd be like, this abusive dad got custody of the kid, and there was nothing I could do. Or, you know, this woman, she did like a case where this woman went on a cruise with a guy, and the guy, they think, beat the crap out of her, and then there was like no proof because she was kind of like comatose, and so like then he got custody of their kid, like fucked up shit,
right?
And so she would like come home and try her best, and then she would come home and just like cry, and she got to know these people, you know, because they were like her clients. And I worked when I was 15. I worked for a summer in her office.
Where was this, by the way?
In South Florida.
In South Florida.
And so I worked as a secretary for her in her office for a summer. And like, you know, people would call to talk to her and it would be like grown women sobbing, you know, and I'd be like, OK, I'm just going to put you on hold and give it to my mom. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Equal parts, there were women who were like very excited to be divorced. And so like afterwards, they would like go get, you know, pop champagne and be like, we did it.
Yeah, yeah. So
like that was interesting to see too, like that you can get out of a bad relationship and that divorce isn't necessarily a sad thing.
Sure.
So that was interesting to see as a kid. But also like she is very like pro prenup, anti-marriage. Mm-hmm. Like she's been married to my dad for like 30 years.
Yeah.
But she always
Once
is like-
Once you've seen that side of it over and
over. She always tells me like, just be very careful about getting married. Like don't, you know, don't whatever. Never wanted me to rush into it, which is opposite of a Jewish mother. Like never wanted me to rush into it. Was like very cautious. And she, I mean, so like I was exposed to like, okay, the justice system is not great. At like a very young age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that it's not always fair.
Yeah. I love that you got to, that for me as a sensitive person, because I have always said like, oh, I could never be, I couldn't really ever be an attorney or I couldn't ever really be a doctor because I don't even have whatever it is that takes, that convinces you that you can build a wall or that you can separate and, you know, they can sort of compartmentalize to get the job done. I didn't even have that ability, but it's very encouraging, as much as I am sad that your mom was impacted and had to feel that pain. There's something very encouraging about that in the sense of like, you know what, but she still did it. And that's great, because I think I do have this idea, the sort of antiquated or like very overgeneralized idea of, you know, well, they just shut it off. They don't, they don't allow themselves to feel that.
Yeah.
And to hear that she would come in and have to like process that grief is actually really inspiring. And like, it makes her even more of a hero to me.
She gets really personally involved. She did a lot of work for free. She did a lot of work for bartering, you know, like my bat mitzvah, like the flowers were free because she had done the person's, you know, divorce. And a lot of times, you know, she did stuff for free and she told me later like, well, you know, children needed my help or whatever, which is a double-edged sword because my family had no money growing up. And so I was sort of like, yeah, but you should have charged for your services.
Right.
And she was like, well, I don't know. And she kind of like has this bleeding heart about it. But also it's like interesting because I saw her arguing in court. So I saw her up against men a lot and she and like arguing and kind of being strong against, you know, largely other male lawyers. And that was really interesting because it, also I had this thing because like, you know, for childcare, whatever, she maybe didn't always have it. So she would bring me. And I would watch her like in mediations just in the corner with a legal pad drawing.
How about that?
And she would be like, you know, I would see her like arguing and I always wanted to step in and be like, don't you talk to my mom that way.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But I just had to whatever. And it was like, and she, you know, she had the big 90s shoulder pads and amazing. Her blazer and all this kind of stuff.
I'm so fine with big shoulder pads coming back. I'm really quite comfortable with that. Of all the trends, I'm okay with a strong shoulder. Now, question. So would you say that it was very consistent that your mom consistently had female clients as a female lawyer and then that men consistently would have a male lawyer? Like, did she ever have men that she was advocating for?
Yeah, she has male clients. Yeah. And she had male clients. I don't remember them as much, but I know. Yeah. I mean, she, you know, you can choose your cases. She's private practice.
Yeah.
So she used to be a defense attorney, and that even made her more upset
because I'm sure.
So she always told me when I was growing up, don't be a lawyer. And she was like very upset.
Which again is kind of that's the opposite of what a lot of family dynamics are, which are like, I expect you to become a lawyer like me, or I expect you to become a doctor like all of us in the family who became doctors.
I don't think she wanted to be, because she went to a performing arts high school.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she went to LaGuardia. Okay, so I don't think she...
Wait, is LaGuardia the one that Fame is based
on? From Fame,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
So I didn't think she wanted to be a lawyer. I think she just like did
interesting.
It. Interesting. And I interviewed her for my book, and I was like, she was talking about how her tuition was $50 for like Brooklyn College where she went, and then
Not
for
bad.
Free law or whatever.
Holy
right?
Shit. Yeah. Remember that, everyone? No one says yes except for people who are our parents.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And she went to law school in Florida because I think it was like where she got in or something. I don't know. That's where she met my dad. And then they're still there.
How did you, are you an only child?
No. No.
I love, this is one of my favorite things that happens on the podcast. When I don't really know someone's story is that I get a lot, not a lot, but like occasionally I get that laugh that is like, how deep into this do I want to get kind of laugh? Or maybe that's not what it is, but
no,
it's one of my favorite laughs. The context of that particular laugh, but no pressure to, you know, dig deep on anything you don't feel like.
I was on another podcast and I was on Natch Butte with Jackie Johnson, and she was like, okay, we do these light questions at the top. So like, you know, where are you from? And I was like, South Florida. And she's like, how many siblings do you have? And I was like, hard pass.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And
yeah, unexpected.
I don't think that happens often for her. I will say I have a younger sister who lives here with me. I'm a middle child.
Okay.
Not with me, but she lives in LA.
Was your experience, without again having to dig too deep, was your experience, like, for example, as a teenager, did you feel like an only child? Like, you don't, again, you don't have to get in the context, but was it like, I might as well have been only child reason?
My sister's 4 years younger than me. She was around. And then I have a sibling who is much older. And then but he was around a bit too. So I did feel like a middle child, and I do feel like a middle child because I think there is like a pull focus kind of thing where like my sister is very needy and my older he's sort of needy. And so I think like I kind of was like overachiever, and then I sort of would constantly be like, hey guys, look at me, look what I did. No one cares. Okay, I'll just go back.
You totally hear that.
Yeah, but I wasn't totally like like a ham or anything.
Right.
I mean, when I was younger, maybe, I don't know, I felt like I was shy, but maybe I think sometimes I say that and then like friends from high school would be like, that's not true. But I was more of a loner, definitely. Mm. And I kind of like hung out alone a lot, like in my room and kind of, this isn't like a secret. My dad was an addict and an alcoholic, so I hung out in my room a lot just to like avoid stuff.
Sure. Was the surrounding bigger than your house environment a factor as well? Did you have a feeling of like, I belong here or I don't belong here? Where in South Florida?
Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood Beach. No.
I wouldn't necessarily like say, why didn't you stay? You seem like such a Fort Lauderdalean.
Not at all. People always guess, because I went to school in Boston, so people always guess Boston, where I'm from. But I did not feel like I fit in. I went to a very religious Jewish high school and middle school, and I like knew, I had some concept that I was queer. And I had some concept that I wasn't, like, I loved the musical Rent. And I was like, I'm going to live in New York with my artist friends. Like, I just had this, I had no problem with, like, I didn't necessarily know what trans people were, but I had no problem with it. Like, I knew cross-dressing and I knew, like, so I was like, that's totally fine. Gay people are totally fine. Like, you know, I visited my brother in New York and I met like some gay friends of his, and I was like, yeah, these people are cool. Like, I just I knew that like things that my school was teaching me were not correct. And I also had a lot of friends for whom like money was very important, like rich friends. And I didn't really care about that other than like some jealousy. But because I was at the school on a scholarship that I got in eighth grade. And I didn't really know what the scholarship was. My mom, when I interviewed her, she told me that it was like half tuition. So that was like huge for my family. And then, but then it was a private school. So you had to pay for uniforms and you had to pay for books and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or like other stuff. I don't know. But so I just didn't. I mean, I had friends. I kind of always felt a little outside of it. And there's also this element where I felt like because I was closeted, I had to sort of be a little removed. So I think people thought that I was very snobbish or very, not even shy, but like up my own butt, you mm-hmm. know, like they were sort of like, okay. And I still can be that way where think I'm hard to get to know maybe. And so like I was sort of like, there was always this thing with my friends, like, cause there were a bunch of straight girls that I didn't quite know what was acceptable. Like I was kind of watching them like hawks were like, not into them, but like just being like, okay, so they sleep in the same bed. Interesting. And that seems okay. Got it. But then like at summer camp, I'd be like, okay, they all shower together as like a group activity. So that seems fine. But I would kind of not want to, or like, and then they would sort of like be upset. Women are weird, but they would sort of be mad. Like because we did this thing where we were mudsliding one time and then everyone like showered afterwards to get all the mud off of them. And I didn't want, I was like by myself in a stall and they were like mad at me because they were like, you're not being friends with us. And I didn't know how to explain that. I just like didn't want to.
Yeah.
So like I always felt like a little bit like people thought I was too good or something.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's there are probably ranges of how common that is for, you know, there might be like an element of that rings true for someone, you know, but they like the sort of like feeling on the outside, excuse me, and sort of watching what feels natural. It's like, well, I'm sure within that friend group, someone in that group would be like, oh, I actually was the one who felt weird about showering, but I went ahead and did mm-hmm. it because, and then there's someone else who's like, oh, I grew up with like naked parents and my mm-hmm. body was fine. So there's like, I'm sure varying levels versus, but like in those moments, it feels, especially if you're the one who actively does stay yeah. outside of it, that like that's that they're all the same over there and you're different over here. But I identify very strongly with the feeling of watching someone, another girl's behavior and mm-hmm. sort of trying to figure out like, oh, is that, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like what, you know, because if I were cuddling with a girl in that way, mm-hmm. I know for me, it would mean something that I don't think it means to them.
Right. Yeah.
So does that mean I should do it or should I not do it? Unless right. I'm sure there's a lot of that and sort of like what's really happening here.
Straight girls are so touchy and so like, I just never understood that or like what was allowed and but I never got labeled like a lesbian or dyke. Like nobody ever was like, you're dyke. Like I had friends who now we're grown-ups and they're straight, but because they played softball or because of some whatever, that was the one that everyone was like, you're a lesbian, and yeah. they're not a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like and nobody ever said that. Like nobody was ever like, she doesn't shower with us because she's a lesbian. Like,
right.
Nobody said that.
Well, that's also the sort of thing where the preconceived notion is that it would be the opposite, right? The preconceived notion is that you would be hungrily, hungrily showering with them. And you would be like, is it cool if I just soap your tits off really quick? Like, would that be okay? Mm-hmm. Like that is the sort of expectation versus like, oh, I don't feel like I can be next to your body in the way that, yeah, like it seems that that's, yeah, I totally get that.
And there's always like one queen bee girl who like dictates what's acceptable and like that. And like, and you know, like you're in the shower, let's say I like gave in and was like, okay, I'll be in the shower with you. She would like, she's like the one who would like hit your boob and then be like, ha ha. And then I would be like, why is this acceptable?
I know.
Like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And then a lot of
friends. That's a confusing time in general and mm-hmm. real bad if it's that specific.
A lot of my friends also were very religious and stayed very religious. Like, you know, I had a friend I lived with in New York and she, I had like set her up with a guy friend of mine and she was like, I can't date him. He's not Jewish. And I was like, that was so foreign to me. Mm. Cause I like did not care. And they all, like a lot of them are married. A lot of them have children from my like original group of friends. They were all very, like just stayed sort of religious and which is kind of funny. Cause we like a lot of them were like, Not no shade because I'm one as well, but like they were very slutty. And then like now they're married and like super religious. And I'm like, girl, please. Right. Like I remember some shit. And like it's also this weird dichotomy. I was trying to write about this where like in our Jewish youth group, right? There was like this thing where you could like make out with 50 people. But if you had sex with one person, you were a slut. What?
I hesitate to, in this PC culture, I feel like, first of all, you could say all that because you're Jewish and that was your youth group. So with all love and side note envy, I've made it very well known that like I desperately wanted to be Jewish when I was, especially around Bar and Bat Mitzvah. It's not because I was like, oh, I wanted the party. Because no one, like I hear about like these themed Bar and Bat Mitzvahs now.
Mine
and I'm
was like, insane.
Isn't the theme that it's your bat mitzvah? Like I couldn't understand. I was like, why is this crazy. A mermaid theme? Mm-hmm. So, but it was just like all like so many of my friends were Jewish and I loved their families and I like it just felt like a fit. And this, I loved that they would go to the JCC mm-hmm. and but I wasn't a part of that. So it was definitely a feeling of being outside of that. And I certainly dated like several guys whose mothers hated me even in high school. Like it's high school.
Yeah, we're not going to get married. I'm not going
to, you know. But I guess it was the idea of like, does this represent the future mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I had a lot of complicated feelings about that, but there was definitely that vibe was existed or was told to me existed in Tucson, Arizona as well in youth groups, which was this sort of like, it's blowjobs galore and no one says boo, but like don't have sex with someone. And that's so amazing the way rules end up.
I think
that's true of a lot of religious groups, not just, you know, but because there are a lot of Christian groups. I think there is this sort of like, we'll push it all the way up to whatever line has been set out by that this particular small community
and
or what have you.
At my summer camp, it was like very encouraged because they want you to marry a Jewish person. So it's like very encouraged to hook up. Like when I went on Birthright and they were like, if you meet someone on Birthright and marry them, Birthright will like pay for your honeymoon or something like that. Oh, wow. And I was like, what? Or like at my youth group, it was like super encouraged to like date each other, but like not have sex. And then like in my summer camp, there was, oh God, what was it called? There was like a thing at night where like your night activity would be over and then they would be like, okay, we're going to give you guys an hour to just like free time, do whatever you want. And so it's like, it was like, oh, you could play basketball. You could like whatever. But everyone just went and like hooked up.
Yeah.
And then they would like come around and be like, oh my God, there was something called the BJP, which was the counselors. And they would
Please
go
say
around.
It's blowjob patrol.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And they would
go around
and be like, BJP, BJP.
Oh my Lord.
What?
Yeah.
And also there was like a thing where we would like go on trips and we would be on the bus and every so often they would flip the lights and go hand check and then everyone had to put their hands up.
It was so well known that that was what was happening, that it was just like not even an open secret. It was like not a secret. It was just an out
in the open
thing.
Couples in the back, everyone's getting fingered. Like what is going on?
It really is fascinating. I mean, it really is. Did you have a point at which you went from going along with stuff as a young person, as a kid or as a young adult, whatever, where you did feel like some of it was true, or you know, you felt you had a relationship to God, mm-hmm. and then that shifted at a certain point when you were kind of like, wait a minute, so there are pieces missing here that I'm noticing for me aren't mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, I would pray under my breath a lot, which now seems sort of crazy, but like if something bad was happening or. Even like I remember doing it on a roller coaster. Like I went on a roller coaster and was praying in Hebrew under my breath. And I would do it all. I would do it a lot.
See, this is awful, but like this all does sound like a great movie. Like even as even as we're both like kind of shitting on like fictionalizing real life. But it really, first of all, your mom would make a great John Grisham heroine.
Right.
Second of all, I mean, listen, we're in the South. We got mm-hmm. the gutsy, emotional mm-hmm. woman who's strong, who's like a great example, who's taking on like half her cases. She's
beautiful
doing it
pro bono.
She's doing it like some like emotionally raw, amazing woman. And brings mm-hmm. like, here's some carrots from my farm because you're helping get divorced. It's like a real heartstring puller. Mm-hmm. And then this adorable, like precocious, slightly confused, is she queer mm-hmm. Jewish girl on a roller coaster muttering in Hebrew mm-hmm. is, I don't want to minimize it, but it's maybe the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
Oh,
so
thanks.
Think about that. Just think on that.
I really thought God was listening. And then I... I was like best friends with my grandmother, and she, I like always wanted her to, she lived in New York and I always wanted her to move to Florida so badly. And then eventually she did move to Florida and it was like amazing and I was so happy. And then like 6 months later she got diagnosed with cancer, and then she died. And that was like the end of God for me. Dunzo. Yeah.
I think that's true for many people, mm-hmm. right? Once you have that, if it, this is how I thought the universe must work, mm-hmm. if I believed in God,
mm-hmm.
and then something happens and it totally, and the people that are like, you would just, I don't know. I mean, I completely get all of it. I get, mm-hmm. I get still believing after that and mm-hmm. believing that she's somewhere better, mm-hmm. and I get believing but being furious at whatever God it is. Mm-hmm. I get totally abandoning the whole thing. Like, it's all so human. Like, yeah. it's all a mechanism that is a result of this terrible thing that breaks your heart. So I get it. But yeah. that's the sort of like, you know, I was raised by, you know, a Mormon mom who is still very much praised. And then a dad who was an atheist who was like, I would never believe in a God who would allow these terrible things to happen in the world, you know. I feel like I got a cross section.
We got told this story so often at my Jewish summer camp, which was like, okay, let me see if I remember it. It was like this guy, and he comes to and there's a farmer, and the farmer has cows and like a whole farm, and then he had and like the cows are like his only source of income, and they'll be like destroyed if they don't have the cows. And then he's married. And then there's like something where someone's going to point out that they know it better than me, but there's something.
I'm already on board for
this guy comes to stay, is like, hey, I need a place to stay. And like the other guy's like, oh, I'm a Jew. Like, I open my doors to people. Of course you can stay. So the guy stays. And then that night that the guy stays, like a beam falls and kills the cow. And then the farmer's like, oh, you're bad luck. Like whatever. And then the guy's like, no. Like the, you know, there's some twist where like the wife was gonna die instead, and like this bad thing happened to save the wife, and then like he gets mad, the farmer or something, and he kicks a wall, and then inside the wall are gold coins because he broke the wall. I don't know. So like,
I love this story.
I'm telling it so wrong. No. I'm telling it so wrong.
It's great.
But there's
it's
like great. Something, you know, this story that I used to think about all the time that was like, well, bad thing happened, but how do you know it's bad? Because something good might come out of it.
But which.
Sure.
That's not, sometimes that's true.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels really good to see the world mm-hmm. that way and to say, you know, I wasn't meant for that thing to happen. I think it's usually easier when it's something that doesn't happen versus something that does. Yeah. Does that make sense? Like, it's not when someone dies, you go, well, actually, if so-and-so hadn't died, I never would have won the lottery. Like, it's less that than it is like, oh, this thing I wanted mm-hmm. didn't happen.
Maybe it's for the best.
Maybe it's for the best. Yeah. That feels somehow like more passive, like in a way that you can sort of reason and go, you know what? And I didn't get it. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to feel great about all this other stuff because I never would have known. But it's way more challenging when it's something that feels abjectly horrible.
But then you never know what could have, what did you avoid? What bad thing did you avoid? Yeah. I don't know. It was like this. And so like she.
The gold coins in the wall is an amazing twist.
It's something like that. Some Jewish person, please tweet at me with what it actually is. So then my mom like wanted me to get confirmed when I was 16, and I was so, I just fought it. I was so pissed, and then I ended up doing it.
It's possible I didn't know that you would get a confirmation at 16.
There was something like, you still into this after your bat mitzvah? And then we had to like,
that's only 3 years later.
Yeah. And then we had to be like, yeah. But I didn't want to do it, and my parents were like, you have to. Because they were like the Clintons, or I almost used to say they were like the Clintons, when before she lost. But like, my dad was president of the synagogue, and then when his term ended, my mom became president of the synagogue. So they were both like very involved.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot of my social circle, and I also just did not understand a lot of stuff. Because I like was... like, I had crushes on people and I was like trying to get it, and they would always be like, whoa, you're aggressive. And I would, because like, I guess you weren't really supposed to like go for more than like making out and or something, or I don't know, or BJs or whatever. And and I was always like, I didn't really understand that. And I was like, what if you're already doing that, you may as well like do the whole thing. And then they would, like, everyone would always be like, no. And I'd be like, well, I don't know if I agree with you, but okay.
Yeah.
It was like very strange. And I didn't, and like, I had like different, I don't know. I had like different boyfriends, and you know, there's always stuff where it's like, oh, we're playing spin the bottle. Oh, the girls are making out. And then I would be like, tight. Uh-huh. Or like, you know, there was a girl that I had like a thing with, and then she told her friend. And the friend like came up to me at school and was like, you better not break her heart. And I was like, oh my God, one person knows. And I flipped out and like ended it. Yeah. And that's like my moonlight. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so like, I just was like a little bit of a mess. And I had like a boyfriend and I told him about the girl and I expected him to just be like, no big deal. And he like lost his mind and was very upset. And I was like, oh. Everything's so complicated.
If you were going to, with your school and summer camp and stuff, were you even in a situation where you were meeting non-Jewish kids?
Oh, like, no, not at all. I didn't kiss a non-Jewish person until I got to college. No, I never met. I had like two non-Jewish friends. I never met any non-Jews. But I went to a public high school. I mean, a public elementary school, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So I switched to the private school later. So in public school, I had all kinds of friends.
Yeah.
And like different people. And then when I switched schools, it just stopped. And like then later, I saw one of my friends, my best friend from private school at a Home Depot, Office Depot, much later. And she was so different from me. And it was really interesting. She was like way more like confident and way more like, I don't know what the word is, like just very... Her fashion was different. It was like way more sort of like hip hop inspired. And it was just like, I had the thought of like, whoa, I could have gone a totally different way. Cool. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. What was your, I know you guys wore uniforms, but what was your, like outside of that, how did you kind of express yourself with wardrobe and stuff? If you even did, if it was like even something you bothered to think about.
Yeah. 9th and 10th grade, I was like more goth. And I did like the Hot Topic thing and had like my, you know, bracelets up my arms and that kind of thing, and chokers and stuff. And then, because you could like decorate outside the uniform if you get in trouble though. And I was like, you know, professional sad girl. And then, because I had really long dark hair. And then I remember my sister's bat mitzvah. I wanted to wear black. And my mom wouldn't let me and I was furious.
Yeah.
And I wanted to wear black. And she was like, no. And so I'm wearing this like olive green dress with like black lining on it. Like it's like Victorian goth looking totally and like it. A cameo choker.
Yep.
And
yep.
I look insane.
Yeah.
And I was like so pissed. I got a boyfriend. I know, great. It was so bad.
I just have a lot of the same, like, those like adaptations to goth stuff, like, because I had to go to church with my mom. So I have a lot of memory that really stirs up a lot of memories, because there's a lot of that with me where it's like, I like my lipstick was maroon instead of black. And like, but it's so clear that I was like begrudgingly making that small adjustment.
So pissed. And then I had a, yeah, and then I had a boyfriend. I got a boyfriend like a end of 10th grade, 11th, 12th grade, and he was a super hippie, into fish, and like was very like smoked a lot of weed and had long
hair.
Did you
do any of that stuff? Did you smoke weed?
I became like a complete hippie because of him. Yeah. I like went, you know, was like sleeping in cars at festivals, and like I just like completely changed. And like was wearing tie dye. Oh my God. When I went to college, I tie dyed my own sheets and I was like, I'm the coolest person alive.
That is pretty cool. I would have thought that was pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a big tie dye tapestry in my bedroom all through college. And people would always be like, my roommates called it the eyesore. Uh-huh. They hated it. But I was like I like old music. I like the Beatles. I like the Stones, man. I like whatever. And my dad loved it because my dad was all into that stuff too. So he was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a classic rock person. I'm an old movies person. I'm like, blah, 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 which really helped people not think I was a snob. No, it didn't. And like, I remember in the yearbook, I was like such a little asshole. In the yearbook, because I was a yearbook copy editor, and my like thing for senior year was like, I said something, I like in my thing was like, I love George Harrison, and then was also like, my quote was like, I never let my schooling get in the way of my education, Mark Twain. Like, I was a fucking dick.
And so I just
became like a super, super hippie, and I had wore moccasins to school and long skirts, and like just was like, my hair was like Janis Joplin, like down. My hair is very curly when it's longer. So I just like, and then like freshman year of college, I got a nose piercing. Like, I just did this like whole,
yeah,
whole,
you went, oh, all my in. God. You went all in.
Such a fucking asshole. I went to a like Darfur rally and like saw Dispatch play, like, and like, yeah, was very into. I found my diary. And first of all, it's like all poetry about marijuana, which is so funny. It's so funny. There's a poem called Feel the Burn, and it's like, oh, green flecks sparkle in the sun. It's a nightmare.
Oh,
and
then, my God, I love it. But so aren't bad. You so glad? I think, I mean, and I'm saying this to myself as well, because I hear everything you're saying. Like, I am really glad that I went to extremes. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I tried all of that on, mm-hmm, which I absolutely did. Some of it shorter than other. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, it's hugely embarrassing. You know what I mean?
My parents still have this hanging up. I went to a Jewish school, okay? I had to do a school project where we had to do like art. I don't know what it was, but we had to do art based on literature. We had to make something based on literature for an English class. And I painted the Beat Poets as The Last Supper.
Oh, yeah,
and
you did.
And brought it in.
You probably were
to
like,
school.
You were like, I'm the first person that's ever thought of this.
And my parents still have it hung up in the house because they think it's amazing. They think it's so funny.
It's so true. I love all of those like growing pains, rites of passage. It just, it makes me so happy. It really does that so all of that is still stupid. No, it's good. It's the mark of a person who is like, I mean, as cliche as it is, it is that sort of like opening your mind, and like, I mean, it all feels, the idea that it feels really original, and then you look back and you're like, I was the biggest cliche on the face of the earth. There's embarrassment there, but it's also charming. It's also charming.
It is
charming. I'm older than you. Trust me. It's charming. It'll only get more charming to you as you go.
My parents were also like so enabling. Like, my mom, it was during the election, the John Kerry, George Bush election. And my mom was like, you want to do something fun? And I was like, yeah, what? And she was like, we're going to drive around and steal all the Bush Cheney signs off people's lawns. And I was like, tight. And so we just drove around in her minivan in the neighborhood, and she would open the door, and I'd run out and steal the sign and run back into the car. And like, and then we just had them in our house for a while. And then we drew on them with like whiteout marker, wow, like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. And my dad was like, why? And like, it was just so,
well, it's also one of those like, oh wait, I don't want someone to do that with the signs I would want to be out in the neighborhood.
I know.
So then it's like, oh wait, I don't want the equivalent of this. Like, I don't want someone to steal all that. Yeah,
it was like so childish.
And again, with the current climate, that seems, mm-hmm, like the most mature thing a human being has ever done.
Oh yeah.
So
I can't believe we were that upset about him.
Yeah.
But,
oh my God, I know. Yeah. That also seems, yeah. Ugh,
so, yeah. But I was like,
how dare that
become super
quaint.
Liberal. So I was like, this is a protest.
Yeah. Yep. No. Absolutely. It totally makes sense. Okay. I've got a sense of music. And did you have crushes on, like, did you have crushes on, you know, TV and film,
mm-hmm,
people where, mm-hmm, you would sort of gobble up whatever it was they were doing?
Lindsay Lohan.
Great. Yeah.
Early Lindsay Lohan. I had a poster.
My God. What if you were like the most recent that you can think of, Lindsay Lohan?
I had a poster of her in a bikini on my wall. My parents were just like, sure. And I always say this. They used to go, what? And I used to go, she's a great actress.
Yeah.
I had, I really loved NSYNC a whole lot.
Right.
But that was when I was much younger. When I was older, I really liked, I got into like pop punk. I never really liked the jam bands. Like, my boyfriend liked them, and I would just be like, sure. But I mean, fucking every dude liked Dave Matthews Band. Never got into it. Never really cared about Phish. I'm so sorry, Josh. Like, he's fine. He's married. Never cared. like about any of that stuff that he really cared about. And like just kind of secretly was like into pop punk and went to like, I mean, A Newfound Glory was from my town and I saw Finch and I was obsessed with Something Corporate. And I loved Bright Eyes. I used to go around and be like, Connor Oberst is the new Bob Dylan.
Sure.
I would say that to people.
Sure.
And like I liked emo music. But like kind of not like secretly, but just kind of because I would like write on my notebooks and stuff like Bright Eyes and like Cool, whatever. Yeah. Or like I liked Green Day. And then I made a playlist. Then when I was like into older music or whatever, I remember I made a playlist my senior year because I hated school. And it was like The Police, like Message in a Bottle, which, like SOS, you know, uh-huh. And it was like Sloop John B by the Beach Boys, which was like, yep. You know, this is the worst trip. Get I want to go here. Home.
Yeah.
It was all songs like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's also, again, adorable. God, what was I going to say? That something you just said made me think of something specific.
Not liking your boyfriend's music.
Oh, yeah. That is what I was going to say.
You lit up when I said that.
What I was going to say was that I had a recent epiphany on Greg Barron and Amir Rutula Barron, I should say, their podcast. I realized I was like, it just came out before I was even thinking about it. I was like, my college experience was like, listening to other people listen to Fish.
Right.
Like I was never in it for me. And but then they would all have to go, I did was listen to other people yeah. listening to
they
Fish.
They would go, oh, you have to finish the whole song. Or like, you know, oh, it's so like you have to. And I would just be like, is a new song started? And they'd yeah. be like, yes.
You're asking the wrong questions.
But I knew so much
You're
about
asking
it
the wrong
and
questions.
I didn't care.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. I can't believe this is our. We've already reached this point, but I want to get into this MASH game before it's already been like an hour. So my first category for you will be we're going to lean hard into the fact that you kind of tried on those different styles. But
oh, sure.
Per what you were saying about running into the, you know, the girl that you had been friends with in the past, give me three styles that from any time in history, anything, male, female, anything.
Okay.
And pretend they're all the same level of comfort.
Okay.
So it can be as extreme or as like comfy.
Okay.
It's all the same. It's just about like the production of trying that on and being in it that it would mm-hmm, be fun mm-hmm. to play around with.
I think like glam.
Great.
Grunge.
Great.
I guess like this is probably bad, but like 80s prep.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
No, sure. Absolutely.
Like just like terrible. I posted something where I was dressed very like Miami Vice, and then speaking of the internet, and then some people commented and were like, this aesthetic is like Republican.
Right.
And I was like, well, yeah.
Right.
But like, it's also funny.
You're
and I'm from Miami.
It. Yeah.
I don't know. People yeah. were like, this is like a conservative look, but it was like pink pants and like a Miami Vice shirt and whatever. And yeah. I was like, all right, I love, just drag me, whatever.
Yeah. No, no, no. It's fine. It's yeah. fine. Trust me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Next category is three places in the world, if getting there were no object, there was no challenge there, that you would want to have a vacation home, whether you've seen them for real or not.
Yeah, I very much want to go to Asia. I've never been, so I'd love to go to Tokyo.
Great.
I'm like, I like food, so mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a really cool food
Absolutely.
Tour.
Absolutely.
Where do I want to go? South of France. I've never been to South of France. I've been to Paris. And I'm thinking international. I'm not thinking like, you know, like I'm not doing like Sedona, Arizona
right,
or whatever.
Right.
I was trying to go to Cartagena, Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
But flights were like crazy, but that's on the list of places I want to go.
Okay. I'll put Colombia on here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's get mine out of the way right now. Got to get it in here. Three foods that in this reality, there's zero negative ramifications. So no allergies, no calories, no like, only get it in Tokyo, so
sure.
I can't have it. In this version, you can have any of these three, snap of your finger
yeah.
in perpetuity.
Oh, God. I mean, like meals, like my favorite foods are so bad. Like,
great.
Like,
let's throw them in here.
Black olives. That's great. My favorite.
Great.
My girlfriend thinks that's the most disgusting thing I've ever said in my life.
Yeah, people really turn on. If you don't like olives, you hate olives. It's like cilantro. People are like, I hate olives.
That's her. I mean, she and I are opposites in every way, but that's her least favorite food, and that's my favorite food. I like cheese.
Great.
And great. I like, I don't know, peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah.
Let's go a different way with it.
Great. Yeah. Let's get some sweet in there.
That's yeah. Peanut butter and chocolate. I'm a savory person, but let's do it.
Okay. I appreciate you going outside your comfort zone. Okay, next category. Let's get right into it. Alternate universe, companion, sexy times.
Oh my god!
However you want to think of it, it can be, you know, someone from like, you know, circa XYZ era.
Oh no. Well, it's hard for me to be into celebrity men right now because I feel like they're all bad.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
And I get really nervous that anyone I say I like is just going to turn out tomorrow, to be a terrible person tomorrow.
I get it.
Like, just in all the ways. Let's see. I very much like Kehlani. Do you know her?
Mm-mm.
She's a musician. She follows me on Twitter. No big deal.
Nice.
She's super... beautiful. I like Demi Lovato.
Great.
That's like a constant. I'll like talk about her like I know her. I'll be like, did you see Demi's photo today?
Yeah.
And then forgive me if he turns out to be a terrible person, but Armie Hammer.
Okay. Well, let's just, in this universe that can never happen.
That is not my type at all. At all. 0% have I dated anyone who looks like him or would be interested in him if I met him in real life.
Yeah.
But I'm a basic bitch about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, okay.
What did it for you?
It was like, Call Me By Your Name, but yeah, I liked him in The Social Network a whole lot.
Yeah.
I used to quote all the time his line from The Social Network. I'm 6'5", 220, and there's two of me.
Yeah.
Because I found a tweet. I was like, how long have I loved Armie Hammer? And I was like, I'm not a newbie. Because I found a tweet from like 2013 where I was like into it. So yeah. Thank God.
Case made.
But yeah, it's just like very dumb. And not, I mean, my type is so scrawny and nerdy. And like, this is such an aberration. Although I did have an ex-boyfriend. He's very tall. And I did have an ex-boyfriend who was 6'7". So I feel like maybe that's part of it.
It's an echoing back to old 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
Old 6'7". Okay. Next one is, okay, I don't know. I just looked down at this incredibly complex Wired magazine cover and it made me want to do three. This is where I'm stretching you a little bit. I apologize. But three magazines that don't exist that can be as specific about like one specific thing. Or can be like general, but three like in like imaginary magazines that you would be like, yeah, why don't we have this magazine?
Sure. Procedurals Monthly.
I'm subscribing immediately.
Yeah. Bisexual Weekly.
Great.
Just something where I guess I could read Us Weekly, but something where my personal pop culture interest
fully customized.
Like Gabby, here's the things that you missed. Here's who've unfollowed each other on Instagram. Uh-huh. Here's what's going on. But just people you care about and not like people from Vanderpump Rules that you don't watch.
Right.
So like stuff I watch.
Yeah. We'll just call it Gabby's Weekly.
Yeah. Stuff I watch weekly.
Great. Great.
I don't want to be like, I don't know who this is. Because I see like, you know, In Touch and I'm like, I don't know you.
Yeah. Same. Okay. That I cannot believe how well you performed on that particular category.
You.
I'm delighted. Next category is alternate universe career.
Mm.
It doesn't mean you have to stop doing what you're doing. It's almost like you can sort of flash back and forth between worlds and be this other thing.
A criminal prosecutor.
Great.
I guess detective.
Great.
Although it's like tough to be like, I want to be the police.
Yeah. Well, you could be like a PI or just some fictionalized
version. Yeah, maybe like a PI.
Maybe
it's I run my own thing. Yeah, I run my own thing. I just thought trivia expert, but that's not really a thing.
It can be. It's your MASH game.
Like professional Jeopardy contestant? Oh, yeah.
Great.
I always think I would be really good at that.
Oh, I would be so bad.
I know so many things, and it's really awkward because people will do that thing where they're like struggling. Like, oh, you know that actor from blah, 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 and I don't want to jump in. Right. So I have to kind of pretend like, yeah, I don't know either.
Oh, man. I'm doing the what? Oh, my God. Now I can't remember what it is called. It's like What the Fact, but it's not called that. I'm doing it's Jakey's joke. He's gonna kill me that I should be promoting something I'm about to do this Sunday because it's coming out this Thursday.
Look at your calendar.
I'm gonna look at it. I think it says in my calendar. It says Jay Keith's show. Go fact yourself.
Oh yeah, go fact yourself. Yeah,
I'm doing Go Fact Yourself this Sunday. I'll post about it on Twitter. It's here in Los Angeles. I'm terrified because I'm terrible at trivia. If on the spot in casual conversation, I'm annoying because I'm like, oh yeah, when did that movie come out? Like 91? Like yeah. Super annoying. But as soon as I'm there, I will suck. The person that I'm doing it with is, I'm glad I at least know him and am friends with him, but it's the writer Jonathan Ames.
Okay.
And he is like a quiet genius.
Ah.
So it's going to be even worse because everything I don't know, I'm going to be like, this is taking me down notch by notch by notch.
In his friend's eyes.
In his estimation of like what I have to offer. So
yeah.
If you're in the LA area, watch me humiliate myself. It's really fun. Okay. Next category. Is let's do how are you on like I'm looking at my Matterhorn poster. How are you on like this sort of Disneyland amusement park world? Is that
I like
do you
it.
Give a shit about?
Yeah, I like it.
Do you like it enough that if I asked you like three rides that actually are sort of like alternate realities that you can jump into and become real?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Disney.
Okay.
I dated someone who was very into Disney, which is a whole personality apparently.
Yes.
So I like Space Mountain. They got rid of a lot of ones that I enjoyed.
Well, that's why you get to bring them back right here as actual worlds.
Oh, I liked, you still like that alien ride. Do you ever remember that one?
Uh-uh.
Is that in South Florida? I can't remember. Is that in Florida? Is that in Disney World?
I'm expanding it out to be any amusement park anywhere.
Oh, God.
And I've only ever been to...
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, great.
Haunted Mansion is the only... I mean, that's like the whole reason I go.
Yeah.
When they change it for Halloween.
Yeah, it's great.
And then just the Haunted Mansion again.
But do you want me to do the alien one, even though I don't know what it is?
No, I'll do... I don't know... I hate Splash Mountain. I hate the railroad one, Thunder Mountain.
Now you're just having to do one you know you don't hate.
I know.
I'm a fan. I will say I'm a fan of Storyland Come Now.
Oh yeah. Whatever.
I like small little tiny houses.
It's a small world.
Okay, great.
That's fun. Great. International.
Yeah, the design on that is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. Like those, I would just have a room of those dolls all day long.
That's
and
creepy.
I'm not a doll person. Yeah, but they're cute outfits. Oh,
the outfits,
so 60s and just like pop art. It's great.
Yeah,
That was like something I didn't think about when I was little. But like at some point, I became like, oh my god, this is so hip. Like it's so cool. It's so retro.
It is retro.
It's very retro. And then last one is three movies that you can go into and just like it's almost like you're just hanging with the characters or being in that world. It can be, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, just like regular day-to-day living.
Well, I don't even know if this is true, but True Romance is like my favorite. Oh man, I love every movie.
I hear you. It's a tough category to pick.
I like horror, but I'm trying to think if I would want to be in a horror movie. Probably not.
Understood.
Like bad things are happening.
Yeah.
What's a movie where no bad things are happening? That's not really a movie. You need conflict. Oh, God.
But you're not reliving the plot. So, you know, even if it's like, it could seriously be as weird as like, oh, I love this, like this town in this horror movie. if I didn't have to worry about
dying. You know what I love? I love a good get the gang back together. Like, I like Inception. So maybe Inception.
Great.
I like, we got to get everyone together to do their small part, you know, like an Ocean's 11
really
type
like
thing.
I really like that too. I really like that. And I really like anything in the, what I can only call the Home Alone genre, where it's like, you're on my turf now. I rigged this thing and I rigged that. And underneath that is bamboo spikes that I hand whittled. It doesn't have to be a house. It could be anywhere. But if it's like a bunch of people are coming and I had to rig booby traps, I get so excited.
That's so funny.
I'm like, oh, way to use that clothesline. Yes, they'll never know it's there. So stupid.
That's so funny. I also, well, let's see. Because these are like real. Like if I say Breakfast at Tiffany's, that's a real time period. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like I saw the Pynchon on your shelf. I loved. I'm the only person who liked the Inherent Vice movie. I understand that. It was for no one but me. But that's also like a real time period. So it feels sort of silly.
No, but like not. It's seen through that lens.
Could I solve it? Like if I did like Zodiac and I solved it.
Yeah. That's a great choice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. This is great. Okay. You know, I just have to get you to do that quick little thing by which I determine what you're going to end up with. So tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Great. I'm going to pause this.
Okay.
Do some, definitely not math. Do whatever this is.
Yeah.
And come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I am pleased with the results. I will say, I'm not as excited about your work as a professional Jeopardy and or any other trivia version than I would have been if you were a detective or a prosecutor.
I'm not going to make any money at this.
It's going to be damn fun.
Or I'll make a ton of money. I'm like Ken Jennings.
Yeah, you'll make all the money. I'm not concerned about that at all. So congratulations on that.
Cool.
You wonderful know-it-all. I like the idea of you answering trivia questions in like hot ass 80s prep clothes. That feels right. Also,
yeah, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, it's a little known fact that it's gonna be great. While you're snacking on unlimited black olives,
yes,
with zero ramifications.
Yes.
You are very up to date on not just all trivia, but pop culture trivia because you have your very own customized magazine. That covers all that territory.
It's just about Timothy Chalamet.
175 pages. When you want to check out and just chill, you have a beautiful apartment in the south of France.
Great.
I like to, it's just that's like, nice. Along one of those little cobbles. So, yeah. it is nice. I mean, nice. You can also get real crazy and jump into the imaginary / real world of Space Mountain. For to get that adrenaline pumping.
An astronaut.
You can jump into True Romance.
Oh, cool.
I'm very excited
That's great.
And you are sharing all of these experiences with Kehlani.
Hey, nice.
Follows you on Instagram.
You should look her up. She follows me on Twitter. It's pretty great.
I got to get on there.
Yeah, look her up.
I got to look her up. Gabby, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Tell people where they can find you, etc.
Oh, sure. You can find me at Gabby Dunn, G-A-B-Y-D-U-N-N, or at Gabby Road, which is a Beatles pun on Instagram.
Now we all know why.
Yeah.
When's your book come out?
In January.
Okay.
I have a podcast called Bad With Money. It's out right now. It's you can find it wherever podcasts are. And it's about finances, but it's not boring. I promise. On season 3.
I'm so glad you're doing that podcast.
Thank you. Season 3 is started. So go listen to it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And folks, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.